Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're joining us today as we kick off a new inspiring series, When You're Hoping for a Miracle. Now, in this series, Pastor Rick is going to guide us right through God's Word, showing us how to strengthen our faith and how to live with greater love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when life feels hopeless. Now, if you've been longing for a breakthrough, you will not want to miss this. I can't wait to hear what Rick will share today, so let's join him right now for part one of a message called, When You're Running Out of Everything.
You don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. And that's why God often allows a shortage, a deficiency, a lack in your life. If I were to ask you, what are you lacking today? You might say, well, I need more energy. I need more money. I need more emotional support. I need more creativity. I need more opportunity. I need a job. All of those things that happen in your life happen really for a reason. And today we're going to look at what I call, what do you do when you're running out of everything? For the next several weeks, we're going to look at the things that cause people to feel hopeless. And today we're going to look at three incidents in the life of a man named Elijah. Elijah was about 900 years before Jesus Christ. And he went through three experiences, they're all in 1 Kings chapter 17, that teach us lessons on how God wants to do miracles when there are things that are happening in our lives that cause us to lack what we need. Now let me give you a little background of this story. There were three kings in Israel that united the kingdom, Saul and then David and then Solomon. But after that, the place fell apart. And Israel was divided into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom called Israel and a southern kingdom called Judah. And in the northern kingdom, for the next 60 years, they had a string of terrible leaders. 19 different kings in northern Israel, and every one of them was a rotten apple. They were terrible politically, terrible economically, and most important, terrible spiritually. And then, as you think that everything's falling apart, you know, the government is now bankrupt and the nation is in recession. And the Bible tells us that the current king and queen were the worst of all of the previous 19. The worst king and queen in Israel's history were named Ahab and Jezebel. You've heard of her, probably. Ahab and Jezebel. They were the worst king and queen in all of Israel's history. And the reason why they were so bad is not only were they terrible leaders politically, economically, but spiritually, they got rid of the worship of God and they brought in a false god, a pagan god, an idol called Baal. And they established Baal as the official religion of Israel, the Jewish nation. So God sends Elijah as a spokesman, as a prophet, to go confront King Ahab. And Elijah says to Ahab and to Jezebel, because of your wickedness and because you've led the nation to worship false gods, it's not going to rain anymore in this country until I, the prophet of God, say so. Now, we later find out this actually ended up being 3.5 years. 3.5 years without rain in the nation of Israel, which meant they were in terrible drought, terrible dryness, terrible famine. But Elijah says, because of your sin, leader, the nation's going to suffer for 3.5 years. This message did not sit well with Ahab. In fact, he and his wife Jezebel were furious. They were ticked, and they put a price on Elijah's head. They said, we're going to kill you. And they authorized bounty hunters and assassins to find Elijah and kill him. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, there on your outline, it's in your program. Now, Elijah confronted King Ahab. As surely as God lives, the God of Israel, whom I worship and serve, there will be no dew or rain until the next few years, unless I give the word. Now, as I said, the Bible says everything in the country dried up for 3.5 years. Maybe you feel that way in your life. Maybe you feel like the joy's dried up in your life. your savings have dried up. During this time of spiritual and emotional and economic dryness, God did some miracles for Elijah, and he taught some lessons to Elijah that you and I need. God wants us to learn the same things. So my question for you is, are you ready for a miracle? Now, during this time of dry period, which maybe you're going through right now, God took Elijah to three different places, and they represent three different phases that you go through in your life. You'll go through them over and over again. For the first year of the 3.5 years of drought, God took Elijah to a place called Kerith. And Kerith was a place and a time of obscurity. The Bible says this, there on your outline, verse 2 of 1 Kings 17. Then the Lord said to Elijah, this is after Ahab had said, I'm going to kill you, go east and hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan River. The Kerith Brook will give you fresh water to drink, and I've commanded ravens to bring you food there every day. That's unusual. So Elijah obeyed what the Lord said to do. He moved to the Kerith Ravine, and he lived there. And the birds brought him food each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain. Now, the first stop in Elijah's journey of faith is the ravine, the Kerith Ravine. What is a ravine? A ravine is a natural rut. It is a narrow, long gorge. The Grand Canyon started off as a ravine, but it got bigger and bigger, and a wide ravine is called a canyon. Here's what a ravine looks like here on the screen. It's long and it's narrow. Now, how would you like to live there for a year? You wouldn't. A ravine is dark, it's narrow, it's cold, and it's lonely. Some of you are in an emotional Kerith right now. You're going through a time that seems dark and cold and deep and lonely. Now, Elijah is an extrovert. He's not used to being alone. And God says, I'm going to put you in a ravine for a year. I want you to hide there. Do you know what Kerith means in Hebrew? It means cut off. That's what it means, cut off. And Elijah is cut off from everything, cut off from all of his friends, cut off from social interaction, cut off from what's happening in the world. He's cut off from the limelight. He's cut off from attention. He is literally all by himself. What is going on here? God takes an extrovert and makes him a hermit for a year. What's happening here? God had great plans for Elijah. This is at the very beginning of his ministry, and God did incredible miracles through this guy, amazing things through this guy in the years ahead. But first he said, you need time alone with me. I need to narrow your focus. You need to focus on me. You need to develop your inner life. You need time alone with me and nobody else. I want your undivided attention for a year. So I'm going to put you in a ravine. And what is a ravine? It's a rut. That's what it is. It's a rut. And it's dark and deep and it's narrow. And God says, I want you to have a time out of a year for reflection. God often uses, listen, private darkness in your life to prepare you for public ministry in the light of day later on. Now, during this time that he's in this rut, and some of you are in a rut right now, God supernaturally provided for him in a very unusual way. He has ravens, birds, bring food over the top of the ravine and drop it. Now, this is not exactly gourmet food, friends. Because where do birds get their food? Off of other people's plates. And they'd find a little piece of meat here and a little piece of bread there, and they'd pick it up and they'd take it, and then God would have them drop it down in this ravine. And so for a year, Elijah's eating leftovers at the best. On the other hand, he may be eating a dead carcass that they picked up somewhere. So this is not exactly, you know, a Club Med vacation here. But he's in this pit, and his only support is from God. There's no food there, and so the birds have to bring it, and he's got water that God has provided in this brook. His only support is from God. Remember, you don't know God's all you need until God is all you've got. And then in verse 17, chapter 17, verse 7, it says, the brook dried up. Now, this is such an important concept, an important principle in your life. The brook's going to dry up in your life many, many times. So I want you to remember this phrase. In fact, I want you to remember where it is in the Bible. So we're going to memorize it. Now, the hard part, the brook dried up. That's not hard to remember. But the hard part is remembering the address. Where is it in the Bible? So whenever you want to memorize a verse, you say the address before and after. 1 Kings 17:7, the brook dried up. 1 Kings 17:7. So let's say it together. 1 Kings 17:7, the brook dried up. 1 Kings 17:7. Some of you right now are in a situation where the brook has dried up in your life. The brook has dried up in your life. The money's not there. The friend isn't there. The support isn't there. The energy isn't there. Your health isn't there. Things have dried up in your life. And the Bible says in where? 1 Kings 17:7, the brook dried up. 1 Kings 17:7. What does that mean? You're going to need this verse because many times in your life, the brook's going to dry up. What's it mean? When something good is all of a sudden gone in your life. When something that was enjoyable is now empty. What was refreshing to you is no longer there. Something that delighted you, a job, a relationship, whatever brought you delight is now disappointing you. And the brook dries up in your life. 1 Kings 17:7. Now, what do you do when the brook dries up in your life? Relationally, emotionally, economically, or whatever. You do three things. You remember three things. There are three reasons brooks dry up in your life. And you need to know this because it's going to happen over and over. Number one, brooks dry up to keep me from depending on the brook. That's the first reason. Brooks dry up in your life to keep me from depending on the brook instead of God. You see, Elijah was in this ravine, in this rut for a year, and it would have been very easy for him to just forget God and focus on the birds and the brook because they are supplying his need. He doesn't have to work. It's all right there. The birds bring the food and the brook gives the water. And pretty soon, if you depend on a bird every day to drop food down to you, then week after week, month after month, for the full year, pretty soon, you're not thinking about God. You're thinking about, is the bird on time? Okay. Is the bird on time? Some of you, the bird is late in your life right now. And you got a pile of bills at home like this. And you think the bird's late. And if the water's coming down the brook, you might just start to assume it's always going to be there. And so God says, whatever you're trusting in, and it's not me, I'm going to turn it off. I've been trusting in my job for my security. Well, we'll just turn that off. I've been trusting in my health. Well, we'll just turn that off. I've been trusting in this friend of mine. Well, we'll just turn that off. God says, you must trust in me. Anything you put before me is a false god. It's an idol. Now, you see, it's human nature for us to trust the brook and the birds. What do you trust? What's the bird and the brook in your life? It's whatever you're looking for to give you happiness. Maybe your husband, maybe your job. Maybe your sports, it may be your health, and you're looking to something besides God to meet your needs. Now, we have this thought that if God ever gives us a gift, and by the way, everything in your life is a gift from God, your brain, your ability, your freedom, your life, your next heartbeat, your air that you breathe, it's all a gift from God, that if God gives something to you, he has no right to take it back. Well, that's nonsense. Because God is God, and he has the right to give and to take away. He has the right to give it to you and to take it away if he wants to. God is sovereign. And sometimes when God gives us something and then it's taken away, maybe not even by God, but it just vanishes like a job, then we start getting mad at God. I don't have the job I used to have. Why? What's wrong with you, God? I don't have the health I used to have. I don't have the I've lost my husband. I've lost my child. That was a gift to you. And no gift on earth is eternal except eternal life. No gift is going to last forever on this planet. It's all just a gift. And God has a right to give it, take it away if he thinks you're depending on it for your source of joy instead of him. There's a second reason the brook dries up. And the second reason is to move me to a better place. God had no intention of leaving Elijah in the ravine, in that rut, for the rest of his life. It was simply a one-year temporary retreat for reflection. He was protecting Elijah while there's a bounty on his head, and the assassins are out to get him. But God didn't intend for Elijah to be born to live in a rut the rest of his life, and God doesn't intend for you to live in the rut you're in the rest of your life. You see, we get very complacent about the ruts and routines in our life. Now, let's admit it, the rut and routine and ravine that Elijah in wasn't that good. I mean, he's eating leftover food and drinking water out of brook, but he's in a little narrow space. But it was comfortable. He knew it. He'd gotten comfortable and complacent with the rut he was in when there was a whole wide world out there that God wanted him to see. And as long as the brook was bubbling and the birds were bringing food, Elijah wasn't going to move. You see, we don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. When all of a sudden we're forced to change. And sometimes God dries up stuff in your life to move you. God wants to move you to a new place in your life. Often what we think is bad, the brook dried up. I lost my job. Could be the best thing that happened to you. How many times has something you thought was bad actually turned out for the good in your life? You can think of a lot of times that's happened. The things that you thought were going to destroy you are actually developing you. They're making you the great person you are. They're building your character. They're developing you. What you thought was going to destroy you actually develops you. Sometimes God turns off the water supply, the supply of whatever we're looking for to trust, because he's saying, I want to move you to a new place. I want you to focus on a new way. I want you to try a new thing. You know, nothing gets you in shape faster than having your health go bad. And all of a sudden you say, well, maybe I ought to start eating right. Maybe I ought to start exercising. You know, those kind of things get your attention. In Alabama, there were a group of farmers who grew cotton. Enterprise, Alabama. And they grew cotton there year after year, but every year the boll weevil would destroy the cotton. And it happened 2 or 3 years in a row, and all of the farmers were actually going bankrupt because the boll weevil kept destroying the crop. So in their bankruptcy, the farmers got together and said, we got to get another crop. This one isn't reliable. And so they started planting peanuts. Peanuts. Well, the peanuts were so much more productive and so much more profitable that it made all those farmers incredibly wealthy, and they built a statue in Enterprise, Alabama to the boll weevil. Because if it hadn't been for the boll weevil destroying 2 or 3 years of crops, they never would have switched to a more profitable one. They never would have switched to something that was more productive and profitable in their lives. God often dries up the brook in your life to keep you from depending on the brook instead of him, to move you to a better place, and number three, to prove that he has not forgotten you. To prove that God has not forgotten me, God often dries up the brook. Why? See, God could have left Elijah in that rut. He could have left him there. If God didn't care, he could have put Elijah in that ravine and left him there the rest of his life. But God did care about Elijah, and for that reason, he dried up the brook so that Elijah could have something better. It proves, you see, when things go wrong in our lives, we often think, God's forgotten me. No, it means God is paying attention to you. He's paying attention to you. He's paying attention because he wants to move you to a new place. And that brings us to the second place. First, he's in the ravine, in the rut. The second place we see Elijah is in the next verse. He's on the road. And the second test of Elijah's faith is a dangerous journey. I call this a time of insecurity. 1 Kings 17, 8 and 9 says, so then the Lord said to Elijah, now get up out of that rut you're in, that ravine, and go to Zarephath and live there. I've prepared a widow there in Zarephath to take care of you. So Elijah, he obeys. He went to Zarephath. Now I want you to circle, get up and go, and circle the word prepared. God had prepared in advance a widow where he was going to take him next. Now what's happening here? God says, I want you to move. Get ready to go on a journey, Elijah. But who and where Elijah is being sent to does not give Elijah a lot of confidence. For a number of reasons. First, look up here on the screen. Here is a map of Israel. Now, notice at the bottom of Israel, down by the Red Sea in this northern kingdom, is Kerith, that brook where he was, in that gorge, in that rut. Zarephath is at the very top. It's not even in Israel. It's in modern-day Lebanon. It is a city, small town, on the coast of the Mediterranean. It wasn't even a Jewish city. It was a pagan city. Now, for Elijah to get from Kerith to Zarephath, he's going to have to go through dangerous territory. There's a number of problems with this journey. Number one, it's over 100 miles. It's going to take him days to walk. And remember, he's a marked man. There are wanted signs for Elijah all over Israel. He's going to have to walk right through the heartland of Baal worship, where everybody there wants to kill him. It's in the middle of a drought, so there's no water, and he's going to walk for days without water. Zarephath is not even a Jewish town. It's a pagan town, false worship. In fact, Zarephath just so happens was the hometown of Jezebel. And God, and Elijah says, you're sending me to Jezebel's hometown? You got to be kidding, Lord. All of her friends are there. I'll be a sitting duck. And then he says, oh, and when you get to Zarephath, I'm going to have a very poor widow take care of you. The least likely person to take care of Elijah, a poor widow. She couldn't defend him or protect him, much less even feed him, likely. She's a poor widow. Of all the people, he says, I'm sending you to Jezebel's hometown to a poor widow. Now he's going from bad to worse. Are you there? Some of you are in the journey phase right now of life. You're on the road from Kerith to Zarephath, and it seems like things are going from bad to worse. And as I said, you've got a pile of bills sitting at home, stacked up, unpaid, and you don't know where the money's going to come from. Bad to worse. When you're on the road, when you're on the journey phase of the test of faith, what do you need to remember? When you're scared to death, and God's got you on a journey, and you don't know where you're going, you don't know how long it's going to take, and you don't know what's going to happen when you get there, and you're kind of a marked person, and anybody could attack you from any side because you're out in the open, and you're very vulnerable. What do you do when you're on a journey in life and you're scared to death? You do the three things, and remember the three things that Elijah did. You need to write these down. Three things to remember when you're on the road. Number one, the path to a miracle is always through uncomfortable territory. The path to a miracle is always through uncomfortable territory. Miracles never happen in your comfort zone. When everything's going great, when everything's copacetic, when everything's comfortable, when everything's convenient, you don't need a miracle when everything's settled in your life. You only need a miracle when you're on the edge, when you're scared to death, when you're insecure, when you're out there and you could get hit at any angle. The path to a miracle is always through uncomfortable territory. Elijah's going to have to walk through right through the area of Samaria and Megiddo, which is where we get the word Armageddon from Megiddo, the valley there. And he's going to have to go all through all that, with people wanting to kill him in order to get to where God wants him to go. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage and slavery to the promised land, they had to go through the Red Sea first. That was scary. For David, the slave Goliath, he had to walk out onto the battlefield before the victory could happen. You may have to go into battle first. When God wanted Jehoshaphat to win a victory, he had to put the choir before the army. These were scary things. Are you at a place right now in your life where things are a little uncomfortable? Financially, sexually, emotionally, relationally, physically. You're just a little nervous, a little on the edge, a little little insecure, congratulations. You're on the path to a miracle. Miracles don't happen when things are comfortable. Miracles happen when things are uncomfortable. You see, Elijah didn't say to God, God, this is a great plan. There's only three things wrong with it. One, you're sending me in the wrong direction. You're sending me right through my enemy's territory. Wrong direction. Two, you're sending me to the wrong location. Jezebel's hometown. As I said, I'll be a sitting duck there. And three, you're sending me to the wrong protection. A poor widow can't take care of me. No, he just obeyed.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today and listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. And I hope you were as blessed as I was from today's show. And now here's Rick to tell you about today's offer.
Would you like to live an extraordinary life? One where you make a lasting contribution that serves God and blesses others? A life where you use all your skills and abilities and talents to pursue your dreams? Well, guess what? God wants you to live that life. In fact, He created you to live a life of significance as you pursue the dream that God has placed in your heart. But you know, a lot of people get bogged down and discouraged before they ever reach their dream. They can't understand why there are delays and difficulties, and so they doubt their dream, and they even doubt God. That's why I've written a new book called Created a Dream, The Six Phases God Uses to Grow Your Faith. It explains the process that God uses to deepen your faith as He moves you step by step closer to the dream He's given you. And when you understand these six phases of faith, you'll be able to see what God is doing. You go, oh, I get it. I understand what He's doing. You'll be able to say, right now I'm in phase four or phase six or phase two of God's process. This is going to keep you encouraged and hopeful when you hit obstacles and suffer setbacks that are inevitable in moving toward your dream. And it'll help you cooperate with God's plan to grow your faith as you fulfill your dream. You're going to begin to live an extraordinary life. You know, the truth is, we're all just ordinary people. But when ordinary people pursue the dream God has for their life, they become extraordinary. God's inviting you to pursue the dream He's put in your heart. Let me help you do that. Let me help you learn more about that. I'd like to send you a copy of Created to Dream, The Six Phases God Uses to Grow Your Faith. When you give a gift today to help Daily Hope, share the hope of Jesus with people around the world. Thank you for your partnership in this worldwide ministry.
To get this great resource, it's really easy. You just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's PastorRick.com. Or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, the word HOPE to 70309. And thanks so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope means so much to us because it helps us share the hope of Jesus Christ to people all around the world. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.